Welcome to Gima's Tales for Children. Each week, we visit a different part of the world to hear stories, legends, and myths. Some of these stories are so old that the origin has been lost in time. Some are new, and some are timeless. Join us this week as we travel to the moon. The moon is about 4.5 billion years old. The moon formed about 30 to 50 million years after the Earth formed. The moon came about when a large object hit the Earth and blasted out rocks that all came together and orbited around the Earth. Eventually, they all melted together, like in a big heated pot, cooled down and became the moon. For another 500 million years, pieces of rock kept striking against the surface of the moon. The moon's surface shows the damage caused by these large pieces of rock hitting it billions of years ago. The surface is covered in craters, pits, and scars. For further information about the moon for children, I suggest www.coolkidfacts.com and then click on Moon Facts for Kids. Our first two stories are about the sun and the moon. The first story is quite short and no one knows where it comes from. Here is The Sun and the Moon. One day, the sun and the moon had a quarrel as to who was the stronger of the two. The two argued with each other for ages, and finally the sun declared that the moon could not shine if the sun's light did not fall on it and illuminate it. To prove his might and utility, the moon proudly replied, "You burn the earth with your heat and give light, but when I shine at night, women come outdoors to spin in the moonlight." On hearing this, the sun became so angry that he picked up some mud and flung it at the moon's face. The moon tried to get out of the way, but couldn't, and the mud got stuck on him. It is believed that since then, the moon has dark spots on its face where the sun threw mud at it. Here is the second story, which comes from Southeast Asia. It is also entitled The Sun and the Moon. Once upon a time, there lived a poor woman with her son and daughter. She did chores for other families for a living. One day, she went to work for a rich man's party and got some rice cakes there. "My children must be hungry," said the woman, hurrying home. On the way home, she met a big tiger. "Give me a piece of rice cake, then I will not eat you," said the tiger. The woman gave a piece of rice cake to the tiger. But the tiger kept following the woman. "Give me a piece of rice cake, then I will not eat you," repeated the tiger. The woman gave another piece of rice cake to the tiger. The tiger kept asking her for more rice cakes. She gave away all the rice cakes to the tiger. Now she had no more rice cake, so the tiger ate her. Now the tiger put on her clothes and went to her house. He pretended to be the children's mom.
"Open the door, dear," said the tiger.
"You are not my mom. Your voice is too hoarse. Her voice is soft," said the brother.
"Oh, is it? I have a cold."
"Then show me your hands," said the sister. The tiger showed his hands to them. "Your hands are too hairy and dark. Her hands are white," said the brother. The tiger covered his hands with flour, and he showed his white hands to the children. Then the children opened the door. The tiger entered the house, saying,
"I will make dinner. Wait here."
Then the brother saw the tiger's tail. "It's not Mom. It's a tiger," said the brother. "What should we do?" said the sister. "We have to run away from here," said the brother. The children ran out of the house and climbed up a tree near the well. The tiger looked for them here and there. Then he saw the children's face reflected on the water inside the well.
"Oh, you are in the well. I will scoop you up with this bowl," said the tiger.
The sister in the tree laughed at the tiger.
"Oh-ho, you are in the tree."
The tiger tried to climb up the tree, but he could not do it.
"How did you climb up the tree?" said the tiger.
"We used oil," lied the brother. The tiger rubbed some oil on his hands, and he tried to climb up the tree, but he only slid down. Laughing at the tiger, the sister told the secret of how to climb up. "You could use an axe," said the sister. Then the tiger made small cuts on the tree with an axe. Then he could climb up the tree. The children were frightened, so they prayed. If you want us to live, please hand down a rope, pleaded the children as they looked up towards the heavens. Then a rope came down from the sky. The children held onto it, and it went up into the sky. The tiger could not catch the children. The tiger prayed too.
If you want me to catch them, please hand down a rope.
Then another rope came down from the sky. The tiger held onto it and went up to the sky, but the rope was rotten. The tiger fell down. The children went up to the sky. The brother became the sun and the sister became the moon. I'm scared of the night, said the sister. I will be the moon for you instead, said the brother. So the brother became the moon and the sister became the sun. The next two stories are about rabbits and the moon. The first is a legend of the Mi'kmaq tribe, which once lived in eastern Canada. Here is Rabbit and the Moon Man. Long ago, Rabbit was a great hunter. He lived with his grandmother in a lodge which stood deep in the Mi'kmaq forest. It was winter, and Rabbit set traps and laid snares to catch game for food. He caught many small animals and birds, until one day he discovered that some mysterious being was robbing his traps. Rabbit and his grandmother became hungry. Though he visited his traps very early each morning, he always found them empty. At first, Rabbit thought that the robber might be a cunning wolverine, until one morning he found long, narrow footprints alongside his trap line. It was, he thought, the tracks of the robber, but they looked like moonbeams. Each morning Rabbit rose earlier and earlier, but the being of the long foot was always ahead of him, and always his traps were empty. Rabbit made a trap from a bowstring with the loop so cleverly fastened that he felt certain that he would catch the robber when he came. He took one end of the thong with him, and he hid himself behind a clump of bushes from which he could watch his snare. It was bright moonlight while he waited, but suddenly it became very dark as the moon disappeared. A few stars were still shining, and there were no clouds in the sky, so Rabbit wondered what had happened to the moon. Someone or something came stealthily through the trees, and then Rabbit was almost blinded by a flash of bright white light, which went straight to his trap line and shone through the snare which he had set. Quick as a lightning flash, Rabbit jerked the bowstring and tightened the noose. There was a sound of struggling, and the light lurched from side to side. Rabbit knew by the tugging on his string that he had caught the robber. He fastened the bowstring to a nearby sapling to hold the loop tight. Rabbit raced back to tell his grandmother what had happened. She told him that he must return at once and see who or what he had caught. Rabbit, who was very frightened, wanted to wait for daylight, but his grandmother said that that might be too late, so he returned to his trap line. When he came near his traps, Rabbit saw that the bright light was still there. It was so bright that it hurt his eyes. He bathed them in the icy water of a nearby brook, but still they smarted. He made big snowballs and threw them at the light in the hope of putting it out. As they went close to the light, he heard them sizzle and saw them melt. Next, Rabbit scooped up great pawfuls of soft clay from the stream and made many big clay balls. He was a good shot and threw the balls with all of his force at the dancing white light. He heard them strike hard. Then a strange quivering voice asked why he had been snared and demanded that he be set free at once, because he was the man in the moon and he must be home before dawn came. His face had been spotted with clay, and when Rabbit went closer, the Moon Man saw him and threatened to kill him and all of his tribe if he were not released at once. Rabbit was so terrified that he raced back to tell his grandmother about his strange captive. She, too, was much afraid and told Rabbit to return and release the thief immediately. Rabbit went back, and his voice shook with fear as he told the man in the moon that he would be released if he promised never to rob the snares again. To make doubly sure, Rabbit asked him to promise that he would never return to Earth, and the Moon Man swore that he would never do so. Rabbit could hardly see in the dazzling light, but at last He managed to gnaw through the bowstring with his teeth, and the man in the moon soon disappeared in the sky, leaving a bright trail of light behind him. Rabbit had been nearly blinded by the great light, and his shoulders were badly scorched. Even today, rabbits blink as though light is too strong for their eyes. Their eyelids are pink, and their eyes water if they look at a bright light. Their lips quiver, telling of Rabbit's terror. The man in the moon has never returned to Earth. When he lights the world, one can still see the marks of the clay which Rabbit threw on his face. Sometimes he disappears for a few nights when he's trying to rub the marks of the clay balls from his face. Then the world is dark, but when the man in the moon appears again, one can see that he has never been able to clean the clay marks from his shining face. Our second story about the moon and rabbits comes from Japan. Here is The Rabbit in the Moon. Every night, the old man in the moon looks down on Earth to see how his animals and people are doing. He smiles to see them resting after a hard day's work. He winks at sleeping children. He hovers over rivers and lakes, lighting the waves and the shore. Then he sails on to other lands. One night long ago, the old man lingered in the sky over a forest in Japan. The animals below seemed to him to live in peace and harmony. Suddenly he spotted a monkey, a fox, and a rabbit who were living side by side. The old man began to wonder about these animals that he knew only by sight. After a while, he began to long to know them better. "Which of these friends is the kindest creature?" he asked himself as he watched the rabbit dash across the fields. "I wonder which is most generous," he said softly as he watched the monkey swing from a tree. "I wonder what they are truly like," he said as he watched the fox paw at the forest floor to make his bed. "I need to know more about my creatures." The old man floated a while longer, but finally his curiosity got the best of him. "I must go and see for myself," he said, and because the old man on the moon is a magical creature, he was able to transform himself into a poor beggar. In this disguise, he floated down to Earth. He walked through the forest until he came to the clearing where the monkey, fox, and rabbit lived. When the creatures saw him, they looked up at him with bright, shining eyes. "Good day, sir," the rabbit said. "How do you do?"
"Welcome to our forest," said the monkey, and the fox bowed low.
"Oh, friends," the old man said, leaning heavily on his walking stick, "I am not doing well. I am old and poor, and I'm very hungry. Do you think you could help me?"
"Of course we'll help," the monkey chattered.
"We always help our friends," the fox agreed. "We'll fetch some food for you," the rabbit added, and without a moment's hesitation, the three ran off, each one in search of food to offer the poor beggar. The old man sat down and leaned against a tree. Looking up into the sky, he smiled. "These are good animals," he said to himself, "and I am curious to see who is the most generous." Before long, the monkey returned, carrying an armload of fruit.
"Here you are," the monkey said. "The bananas and berries are delicious, and take these oranges too, and these pears. I hope you will enjoy my gift."
And he lay his fruit before the beggar. "Thank you, my friend, you are kind," the beggar said, and before he had finished speaking, the fox raced into the clearing. He carried a fat, fresh fish between his teeth, and this he laid before the beggar. Again he bowed. "My friend," the fox said, "I offer you a fresh fish to ease your hunger. I hope this will satisfy you." "You also are kind," said the old man. "I never knew how kind the forest animals were."
"Of course we are kind," the monkey said proudly.
"And we are skilled at finding food," the fox added. Now all three sat waiting for the rabbit to return. Meanwhile, the rabbit dashed this way and that through the forest, but no matter how he tried, he could not find food for the beggar. At long last, he returned to the clearing.
"Friend," the monkey cried, "you have returned."
"I have," the rabbit said sadly, "but I must ask you to do me a favor, dear friends. Please, Brother Monkey, will you gather firewood for me?
and Brother Fox with this firewood. Will you build a big fire?"
The monkey and the fox ran off at once to do as their friend asked, and the beggar sat quietly by, watching in wonder. When the fire was blazing, the rabbit turned to the beggar.
"I have nothing to offer you but myself," he said. "I am going to jump into the fire, and when I am roasted, please feast upon me. I cannot bear to see you go hungry."
Rabbit bent his knees, preparing to jump into the fire. The beggar at once threw away his stick and cast off his cloak. He stood straight and tall and proud, and the animals, seeing this strange transformation, began to shake with fear.
"Don't be afraid," the old man said. "You see, Rabbit, I am more than a beggar, and I have seen that you are more than generous. Your kindness is beyond price. But you must understand, I wish you no harm. I do not want you to sacrifice yourself for my comfort. I will take you home with me, where I can watch over you and make sure you are never harmed."
The old man in the moon lifted the rabbit into his arms and carried him up to the moon. The monkey and the fox watched in amazement, but they were grateful, for they wished their friend no harm. If you look carefully at the moon when it is full and bright, you will see the rabbit living there in peace, resting in the old man's arms, helping him to watch over us all. One other ancient tribe, the Vuntukuchi, also have a legend about the moon. It's quite short and whimsical. Here is "The Boy in the Moon." "Do you see the mark in the middle of the moon that looks like a man? Well, that is really a little Indian boy. It happened this way. Many years ago, there lived a Vuntukuchi boy. One winter, when he saw that his people had nothing to eat, he dreamed they killed a lot of caribou. He told his dream in the morning, and the braves set out to hunt. But before they went, the boy made his uncle promise that he would give him the meat of the leader caribou. The uncle killed the leader, but when he came back from the hunt, he gave the boy the wrong meat and kept the right meat for himself. Well, the boy felt so badly that he cried for 2 nights, and on the 3rd night he disappeared. He wore marten skin pants, and in the morning his uncle saw the left leg of the pants hanging to the tent pole in the hole where the smoke goes out. And when the uncle went outside the tent, he found that all the caribou which had been killed the day before had come to life again and run away. As for the boy, he had gone up to the moon, and there he is now, with one leg bigger than the other, because the right leg has pants on it. From his hand hangs a little bag full of the wrong caribou meat, and during the autumn and winter, when the sky is clear, you may see him standing in the moon." This last story brings us back to the United States. It is written by the author of The Wizard of Oz. Here is "The Man in the Moon" by L. Frank Baum. The man in the moon came tumbling down and inquired the way to Norwich. He went by the south and burned his mouth with eating cold peas porridge. "What? Have you never heard the story of the man in the moon? Then I must surely tell it, for it is very amusing, and there is not a word of truth in it." The man in the moon was rather lonesome, and often he peeked over the edge of the moon and looked down upon the earth and envied all the people who lived together, for he thought it must be vastly more pleasant to have companions to talk to than to be shut up in a big planet all by himself, where he had to whistle to keep himself company. One day he looked down and saw an alderman sailing up through the air towards him. This alderman was being translated, instead of being transported, owing to a misprint in the law, and as he came near the man in the moon, called to him and said, "How is everything down on the earth?"
"Everything is lovely," replied the alderman, "and I wouldn't leave it if I was not obliged to."
"What's a good place to visit down there?" inquired the man in the moon.
"Oh, Norwich is a mighty fine place," returned the alderman, "and it's famous for its peas porridge." And then he sailed out of sight and left the man in the moon to reflect upon what he had said. The words of the alderman made him more anxious than ever to visit the earth, and so he walked thoughtfully home,
put a few lumps of ice in the stove to keep him warm, and sat down to think how he could manage the trip. You see, everything went by contraries in the moon, and when the man wished to keep warm, he knocked off a few chunks of ice and put them in his stove, and he cooled his drinking water by throwing red-hot coals of fire into the pitcher. Likewise, when he became chilly, he took off his hat and coat, and even his shoes, and so became warm, and in the hot days of summer, he put on his overcoat to cool off. All of which seems very queer to you, no doubt, but it wasn't at all queer to the man on the moon, for he was accustomed to it. Well, he sat by his ice-cool fire and thought about his journey to the earth, and finally he decided the only way he could get there was to slide down a moonbeam. So he left the house and locked the door and put the key in his pocket, for he was uncertain how long he should be gone, and then he went to the edge of the moon and began to search for a good strong moonbeam. At last he found one that seemed rather substantial and reached right down to a pleasant-looking spot on the earth. And so he swung himself over the edge of the moon and put both arms tight around the moonbeam and started to slide down. But he found it rather slippery, and in spite of all his efforts to hold on, he found himself going faster and faster, so that just before he reached the earth, he lost his hold and came tumbling down, head over heels, and fell plump into a river. The cool water nearly scalded him before he could swim out, but fortunately he was near the bank, and he quickly scrambled upon the land and sat down to catch his breath. By that time it was morning, and as the sun rose, its hot rays cooled him off somewhat, so that he began looking about curiously at all the strange sights and wondering where on earth he was. By and by, a farmer came along the road by the river with a team of horses drawing a load of hay, and the horses looked so odd to the man in the moon that at first he was greatly frightened, never before having seen horses except from his home in the moon, from whence they looked a good deal smaller. But he plucked up courage and said to the farmer, "Can you tell me the way to Norwich, sir?" "Norwich?" replied the farmer musingly. "I don't know exactly where it be, sir, but it's somewhere away to the south." "Thank you," said the man on the moon. "But stop, I must not call him the man on the moon any longer, for of course he was now out of the moon, so I'll simply call him the man, and you'll know by that which man I mean." "Well, the man in the, I mean the man," but I nearly forgot what I just said. The man turned to the south and began walking briskly along the road, for he had made up his mind to do as the alderman had advised and travel to Norwich, that he might eat some of the famous pease porridge that was made there. And finally, after a long and tiresome journey, he reached the town and stopped at one of the first houses he came to, for by this time he was very hungry indeed. A good-looking woman answered his knock at the door, and he asked politely, "Is this the town of Norwich, madam?" "Surely this is the town of Norwich," returned the woman. "I came here to see if I could get some pease porridge," continued the man, "for I hear you make the nicest porridge in the world in this town." "That we do, sir," answered the woman, "and if you'll step inside, I'll give you a bowl, for I have plenty in the house that is newly made." So he thanked her and entered the house, and she asked, "Will you have it hot or cold, sir?" "Oh, cold by all means," replied the man, "for I detest anything hot to eat." She soon brought him a bowl of cold pease porridge, and the man was so hungry that he took a big spoonful at once. But no sooner had he put it into his mouth than he uttered a great yell and began dancing frantically about the room, for of course the porridge that was cold to earth folk was hot to him, and the big spoonful of cold pease porridge had burned his mouth to a blister. "What's the matter?" asked the woman. "Matter?" screamed the man. "Why, your porridge is so hot it has burned me." "Fiddlesticks," she replied. "The porridge is quite cold." "Try it yourself," he cried. So she tried it and found it very cold and pleasant. But the man was so astonished to see her eat the porridge that had blistered his own mouth that he became frightened and ran out of the house and down the street as fast as he could go. The policeman on the first corner saw him running and promptly arrested him, and he was marched off to the magistrate for trial. "What is your name?" asked the magistrate. "I haven't any," replied the man, for of course, as he was the only man on the moon, it wasn't necessary he should have a name. "Come, come, no nonsense," said the magistrate. "You must have some name. Who are you?" "Well, I'm the man on the moon." "That's rubbish," said the magistrate, eyeing the prisoner severely. "You may be a man, but you're not the man on the moon. You're in Norwich." "Well, that's true," answered the man, who was quite bewildered by this idea. "And of course you must be called something," continued the magistrate. "Well, then," said the prisoner, if I'm not the man in the moon, I must be the man out of the moon, so call me that." "Very good," replied the judge. "Now then, where did you come from?"
"The moon."
"Oh, you did, eh? How did you get here?"
"I slid down a moonbeam."
"Indeed. Well, what are you running for?"
"A woman gave me some cold peas porridge and it burnt my mouth."
The magistrate looked at him a moment in surprise, and then he said, "This person is evidently crazy, so take him to the lunatic asylum and keep him there." This surely would have been the fate of the man, had there not been present an old astronomer who had often looked at the moon through his telescope, and so had discovered that what was hot on Earth was cold on the moon, and what was cold here was hot there. So he began to think the man had told the truth. Therefore, he begged the magistrate to wait a few minutes while he looked through his telescope to see if the man on the moon was there. So, as it was now night, he fetched his telescope and looked at the moon and found there was no man in it at all.
"It seems to be true," said the astronomer, "that the man has got out of the moon somehow or other. Let me look at your mouth, sir, and see if it's really burned."
Then the man opened his mouth, and everyone saw plainly it was burned to a blister. Thereupon the magistrate begged his pardon for doubting his word and asked him what he would like to do next.
"I'd like to go back to the moon," said the man, "for I don't like this earth of yours at all. The nights are too hot."
"Why, it's quite cool this evening," said the magistrate.
"I'll tell you what we can do," remarked the astronomer. "There's a big balloon in town which belongs to the circus that came here last summer and was pawned off for a board bill. We can inflate this balloon and send the man out of the moon home in it."
"That's a good idea," replied the judge. So the balloon was brought and inflated, and the man got into the basket and gave the word to let go, and then the balloon mounted up into the sky in the direction of the moon. The good people of Norwich stood on the earth and tipped back their heads and watched the balloon go higher and higher until finally the moon reached out and caught hold of the edge of the moon, and behold, the next minute he was the man on the moon again. After this adventure, he was well contented to stay at home, and I have no doubt if you look through a telescope, you will see him there to this day. So we've come to the end of our time together today. If you have a story you'd like to hear, please feel free to write me with your request. If you've written a children's story and would like to share it, let me know as well. I welcome your feedback. You can email me at guima@kciw.org. That's guima@kciw.org. See you next week. Same time, same place, but very different stories. We'll travel back to Earth, to the continent of South America. This is Guima saying goodbye and happy reading.